In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, the son of Elah, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 9 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel who were before him. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him, and Hoshea became his vassal and paid him tribute money. And the king of Assyria uncovered a conspiracy by Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria and placed them in Halah and by the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the city of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel, which they had made. Also, the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things which were not right, and they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger, for they served idols of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets." Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and 2 calves, made a wooden image, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practice witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Please be seated. Well, this is the account of the northern kingdom of Israel going into Assyrian captivity. And God had warned Israel that if she doesn't turn away from her sinful ways, then he's going to bring judgment upon her. But Israel refused to heed those warnings. Over hundreds of years, God had patiently waited upon Israel, entreating her to repent of her sins, and she did not. And so the Lord delivered her into captivity. Verse 13 describes this judgment of God with alarming language. Listen as I read verse 13 aloud. "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer, saying, 'Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets.'" Notice how this verse says that the Lord testified against Israel. This is courtroom language. It's as if Israel had been brought up on charges, put on trial, and God is sitting in the witness stand testifying against Israel of all that she has done. And notice how God testified against her. It was through his prophets. When the Lord sent Elijah and Elisha and Amos and whatever other prophets he sent to Israel, those prophets declared the Lord's holy law to Israel. And that wasn't just in those situations, in those circumstances, that was not just a bold man proclaiming God's law, calling a sinful nation to repentance. That was, according to verse 13, the Almighty Lord testifying against Israel's sins. Like an eyewitness in a court case, the Lord was actually bearing witness against Israel's sins. Now, brothers and sisters, what we need to realize and what we need to acknowledge is that the Lord still bears witness against sinners today. The Lord still bears witness against sinners today. When God's people faithfully teach the holy requirements of his law, the Lord is bearing witness against sinners. When God's people call sinners to turn away from their sin, that's not just a bold person calling somebody to repentance. That is the Lord testifying against the sinner, the Lord God Almighty testifying against that sinner. And this is an alarming revelation. If you pause and reflect upon the times when another Christian has applied the law of God to your life and thereby entreated you to turn away from your sin, that wasn't just another person overreacting to the situation. That wasn't just another person trying to be more holy than thou. And that wasn't just another person trying to exert their will over you. What we're reading in our sermon text, or what we're reading in our reading of God's law this morning, is showing us that that was God who was testifying against you. That was God bearing witness against you through the instrumentality of who whatever faithful Christian at that time was applying God's holy word to your sinful behavior. Now, teens and young adults, I want to make sure that you understand that this teaching applies to you. I'm not saying that this teaching only applies to you, for it applies to everybody, but I want to make a specific application this morning of this teaching to teens and young people, because teens and young people is a demographic that often thinks other Christians are being too rigid, too heavy-handed, too legalistic, too out of touch with reality, or too nitpicky, or too whatever, fill in the blank. Teens and young adults are the demographic that's most likely to believe that other Christians just need to chill out and mind their own business. And this attitude often leads teens and young adults to dismiss the admonitions of other Christians who love them and care for them so deeply that they want to speak biblical truth and values into their life. And so, teens and young adults, please listen very closely to what I have to say this morning. If any Christian attempts to provide biblical correction in your life, notice that I didn't say correction, I said biblical correction. If any Christian attempts to provide biblical correction to your life, then that is God testifying against you. That is God testifying against you. And if your parents apply the word of God to a situation and they say to you, you need to start doing this or you need to stop doing that, that is not just your parents being bold and doing what parents are supposed to do. That is God testifying against you. If a member of your church voices his or her concern over your sinful decision, some sinful decision you've made, that is the Lord testifying against you. And if you shrug off any of these attempts to bring biblical correction into your life, you're not just resisting your parents, and you're not just resisting your fellow church member, and you're not just resisting some well-intentioned Christian, you are resisting God. You are resisting the Lord God Almighty. Just like the rebellious nation of Israel resisted God, you likewise are resisting God if you do not heed the loving correction that God's people bring to you when it's based and established in God's word. Verses 14 and 15 of our reading this morning describes how the Israelites stiffened their neck and refused to believe those who attempted to provide loving biblical correction to them. Because Israel wanted to follow the patterns of the unbelieving nations around them, they rejected the Lord's statutes and the covenant that he made with their fathers. And so it is today with teens and young adults. Even though they grew up in a family and a church which upholds Christian values, some teens, many teens and young adults, have a strong desire to follow the ways of the unbelieving world. Just like Israel wanted to follow the nations around her, young people today want to follow the ways of the unbelieving world, and so they stiffen their neck and they throw off the righteous statutes of the Lord. Like Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, they reject the counsel of godly people who have learned wisdom through the experience of many ages, many years. And why? Why do teens do this? Why do young adults do this? Because they prefer to walk in the foolishness and the unbiblical counsel of their peers, like Rehoboam, who sought the counsel of his peers and was misled by it. So many youth today seek the counsel of their peers, rejecting the counsel of parents, elders, fellow church members, established Christians, and they are led astray. It's no wonder that Paul told Titus to exhort the young men to be sober-minded, Timothy 2:6. And it's no wonder that 1 Peter 5:5 tells young people to submit themselves to their elders. Not reject their elders, but to submit themselves to their elders. So teens and young adults, if you are not heeding the biblical wisdom and correction of your parents, your elders, your fellow church members, and other sound Christians that the Lord has placed in your life, then know that the Lord is testifying against you. Right? It's important that you know that. If you continue in that way, it's important that you understand that the Lord is testifying against you. He is establishing a case against you. And if you do not confess and forsake your sin, then you may soon be experiencing the Lord's heavy hand of correction upon you, as Israel did. So, brothers and sisters, teens and young adults, where the Holy Spirit has borne witness to you of your own personal sin, remember that God is gracious. He pardons and he forgives all who truly repent while trusting in the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then repentance means confession and forsaking the sin. It's one thing to confess a sin, but repentance includes forsaking the sin, turning away from the sin, no longer participating in the sin. And so we have the ability this morning to begin that process of confession or repentance through confession. So let's confess our sins to the Lord. During this time of silence, I encourage you to confess to the Lord all that the Lord has burdened your heart with, any sin that he has brought to your attention. And after a suitable time of silence, I'll lead us in corporate confession as well. Let's pray.